You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Well, guys, after so many years, we have to ask the questions. Do we see these rich elitist douchebags actually become a successful company or not? You know?
Just by the fact of being rich elitist douchebags, they've always been an official company.
Well, you know, what was that? There was the old joke on Honest Trailers they used to make where it's like, yeah, you get to watch the douchey elitist corporate douchebags go up against douchey elitist corporate douchebags. You know, like, at least the wannabes in comparison. And that's mostly been the element of this show, where it's like, yeah, it's a whole, you know, mocking expose about Silicon Valley and the tech industry and that kind of stuff, but there is a little bit of thing where you're like, wow, these guys are petty fighting over the millions and millions of dollars they could be going for and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, at times I felt that with the past two seasons. It's just like, hey, do we want to be millionaires or do we want to be billionaires? Actually, I don't want to take the $1 billion. I think I'll just take the $1 million. And it's like, relatable first world problems.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it's not like they're totally all douchebags. Because, I mean, at least in the beginning, most of these characters are pretty likable because they do start from, like, literally, you know, living in someone else's house, like, making pennies off of stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
These guys used to work for T.J. Miller. Come on, we gotta give him some slack.
Which, yeah, T.J. Miller is definitely gone by this point. Like not even mentioned. Or does he actually play any fact? Like, does his character play a factor in this story?
His character is mentioned in a funny way.
Okay, that's good. But, yeah, he definitely is not coming back by the end. But anyways, yeah, we're talking about Silicon Valley, the final season. Can you believe it's over? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember when they were talking about this during the original Gentleman. That's how I heard about this show, was them talking about this new, was it Judd Apatow? Was that who did it?
No, it's Mike Judge. It's the guy who did
Mike Judge.
Yeah, the guy who did King of the Hill and a whole bunch of animated shows back in the day.
But yeah, they were talking about it, and I finally got around to looking at it, and that first season is such
first
a great first season.
First
yeah,
two seasons. I feel
I would argue the first three seasons were all really great because that's when I stopped watching about season four, and I can't exactly say what happened to make me kind of fall off. I mean, I got caught up in a bunch of other shows too, but it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm still liking this, but there's a pattern that's starting to form.
I know what happened, Justin.
Oh yeah,
you think you know what happened?
Yeah, because formula is the death of comedy to some extent, and each season. Not every season, but the vast majority, I'd say 90% of the seasons are just like, all right, they come up with a great idea, it goes bad at the last second, and then it goes good again, and then it goes bad on the last episode.
Well, it's one of those things where it always feels like wherever they go, they end up back at square one by the end of the season. You know, it's that old
exactly.
Trope of comedies and sitcoms, that kind of stuff. But, you know,
I would disagree with that. I think at the end of every season, they actually have succeeded. But the next door they open, they immediately get shit flung at. But every season ends with Richard throwing up.
Yeah, but let's just start off with just saying, okay, we're going to talk about the plot of this a little bit, and we have to talk about the previous five seasons. So if you guys aren't caught up with this, I mean, I'm not, but I don't mind. I mean, I'm going to watch it later, probably. But, yeah, if you haven't caught up with this, everything else in the season so far has been fair game. So, give us the setup here. What's the beginning of this season about? Like, where are they at the moment?
They're making a private internet service, basically, is what it is. But
That whole thing with Richard was saying, like, creating his own internet, like, a whole new, like, concept of internet communication?
Yes, it's not, that's not being data mined, basically.
Oh, okay.
So some hot topic issues.
Yeah,
well, yeah, a little bit more than that. Like, where are the characters right now? What's been going on since that, since the first five seasons?
Well, basically, Richard has to speak before Congress on his whole ideology about basically not taking user data at all. And it kind of backfires on him because he shits on Facebook and Amazon and Google and all those good overlords, you know?
Oh, you mean, like, telling the truth about what's actually happening?
Yeah, pretty much. And, in the meantime, a lot of people are just severing ties with Pied Piper. The gang is pretty much still the gang. Some developments happened between, Thomas Middletich and, what's the guy's name? Fuck.
Yeah, I think you're more specific than that.
Oh, I know. Like, in this fucking
like Big Head or Guilfoyle or Dinesh?
Oh, no, Jared.
Oh, Jared. I love Jared.
Jared is so great this season. He is great every season, but he's great this season.
I was state raised. You think I'm scared to catch a case of some bullshit?
Oh, my God. I don't want to spoil what happens to him this season, but it might literally be the darkest thing I've seen on television since I Love You, Philip Morris.
Okay, that's not what I would expect with Jared, but okay.
Well, maybe you've been off a couple seasons of it, but Jared's got some fucked up shit in his head.
Yeah, I kind of suspected as much. They've hinted at things that he's got this weird, like, dark side, like his crazy womanizing that he literally just effed with everybody kind of thing, where you're just like, wow, this guy is not the nebbish nerd that we thought he was when we started off.
No, he really is. He really is. It's just that the background of everything else in his life is just a lot.
Okay. Yeah, so, okay, so that sounds like, I mean, obviously they're parodying Mark Zuckerberg stuff in the beginning, right, with the whole Congress thing?
Not really, because Richard, like, comes alive during that speech.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he does come alive, but the whole format of it sort of seems very, just the way how it's shot sort of feels very fucking Zuckerberg. And I think that's just by default, just a little bit of an echoing, but it's not like a full-on parody.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So apparently, this season also was only 7 episodes. Which, wow, that's pretty short. Does that feel like an appropriate length for this final season?
You know what? It's better to cut off now than to like be 2 episodes too long nowadays. People don't have time for tennis. People don't even have time for 8 episode seasons anymore.
Yeah, the length didn't bother me. I didn't feel like they really missed any opportunities. I don't know. I just. Ending off this show, it's just, I kind of feel like it's like, oh yeah, well, everybody was okay. Like, the whole show is just okay by the end of it.
Yeah,
like, it could have been more, but...
Yeah, because I mean, I love those first 3 seasons, and I mean, I have heard that the last couple seasons have been kind of like, you know, it was a thing, kind of thing, or at least not as beloved as it when it started off. So, I mean,
that
kind of...
first season without TJ Miller was actually pretty lit. That was a pretty good season.
Yeah, it's still, wait, you like season 4? Oh, wait, no.
Season 4
was his farewell. Season 5 was really good. Oddly enough, I think the show is good from the middle out. Like, 1 and 2 are great, and 5 and 6 are pretty good, and 3 and 4 kind of just lost me a little.
See, because I still liked 3, but... I mean, sorry, we still have to talk about this season, because that's the one we got to do, but...
was all the complaints everybody's ever had about it, and, like, truly realized to the point where it's, like, how they get out of the mess they're in is such a bullshit moment. It kind of leaves you pissed off. That, thankfully, doesn't happen this season. Everything, you know, like, everything pretty much happens organically from how I saw it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. How did you feel about Gabe?
Gabe. Oh, Gabe.
Okay, who's that Gabe?
Gabe is a walking annoyance. to Dinesh and a few other characters, but he's just this character who is exceedingly inconveniencing everybody, but not in a way that really diminishes the plot. Like, he's not just, I mean, he is just there to inconvenience everybody, but Dinesh's frustration with him is great. But the best quirk about his character is that he has pants chairs. What do they call them?
I thought he just had ass chair. I don't know. He has a stool that when he sits down, it'll pop out of his butt, and like he can sit down right.
Well, out of the back of his pants, but yeah.
I like the way I said it better.
I do like the way you said it better. But he, there's a lot of great moments. One of the best moments is when Dinesh basically asks, is asked by him, hey, can you send an email to me? And he's like, I sent this email to you 5 times. And he says, yeah, but I don't want to search through. I want it to be on the top. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll do that.
That sounds so much like emails I've sent to other people, too. I'm just like, yeah, but could you just send it again? It'd be too hard to look at.
Their Whoa. Trip to Hawaii is hilarious.
The thing that kills me is whenever he's waiting for something, he'll just say, I'll wait, and then he'll pop his chair and just stare into your soul.
Now that's a fucking power move. I need to get those pants.
It almost made me want to get those pants, honestly.
Yeah, so then when you're talking about these other characters and stuff, would you still say that the core group is still really strong? Like, because, you know, you got Thomas Middleditch as Richard, you got Josh Brenner as Big Head, Martin Starr as Guilfoyle, Camille Nanjiani as Dinesh, and all those people. Like, would you say that the core group
is going to sound so shitty. What's the name of their only female character?
Oh, it's Monica. Andrew.
Monica. Yeah. Amanda, I always like Amanda Monica. Crew. Monica's fun this season as well.
Well, so did they actually give her more to do this season, or?
Not really.
Nah,
I mean, she has great moments, especially with what's his name, the one who takes over T.J. Miller's house.
Jin Yang.
Oh, Jin. Yeah, Jin Yang. Yeah, that's right.
Jin Yang.
He's great.
I like Jin Yang. Great. He's a really good actor, I think.
I don't know. I think the core group was good. Some people kind of just go into their own sort of modes. Like, as much as I was singing the praises of that scene with Kumail Nanjiani. And I love him. Dinesh was kind of weak this season.
Like, does it feel like they don't know what to do with Dinesh?
Three seasons, ever since he became basically a piece of shit.
Yeah, it also really doesn't help that, like, he's currently getting buffed for the Eternals from Marvel. So, like, the nerd thing really doesn't work when you just look at him and they try and put on enough shirts to cover up the fact that he's fucking jacked. It's so weird.
So does it feel like Camille Nanjiani is kind of done with Silicon Valley? Like, does that come off when he in his performances or something? Or
no, yeah. He still feels like part of the gang to me. He can be as buff as he wants to. It's like when Carrot Top gets buff. It's like, I still know who you are.
I agree and I disagree. I think that he still feels part of the gang, but he definitely feels like he's putting in the least effort of all the people. I mean, outside of Thomas Middleditch, who has pretty much been doing the same thing for the past... he did have a little bit of growth this season.
I mean, it's not like Chris Pratt's transformation, where, like, the last season he was just like, well, I'll see you losers in the MCU.
I disagree. I thought they made that into a really funny joke in Parks and Rec. It's like, yeah, just stop drinking beer.
Well, I
enjoyed his relationship with Guilfoyle has been one of the biggest crutches of the show, and it still pretty much works for me.
Oh yeah, but mainly due to Guilfoyle, though. I felt.
Oh yeah, you can't have AI one without the other.
Was hilarious. Yeah, true. Yeah, you are correct. I think I just haven't liked how Dinesh has been just made to be the asshole of the group because he never really came off that way to me in the first.
It sounds like they needed it sounds like because of the lack of T.J. Miller they didn't have that archetype character of the person who makes the trouble for the group kind of thing. So I guess that sounds like it's unfortunate they just put that on Camille's shoulders.
Look, in the first season he couldn't have sex with a girl because she didn't write the code he thought she did. And that fucked up his brain. He was always a little bit weird.
Yeah, but he was, he wasn't full on, like, he's even worse than Larry David.
I would argue a majority of them from the very beginning have all kind of been shitty. Even Richard. Richard, like, he tries his best, but even he, in this season especially, there's, like, he has this urge to, like, have more power than he actually has, and he wants to, like, flex it, but he doesn't have it, but he would still like to do it, which is, from what I've been hearing, is very, like, accurate to, like, these tech mogul people.
Well, I mean, that's been the thing from the beginning, is that even the heroes are very much parodies of the types that frequent in Silicon Valley. Like, even, what was that, one of the opening jokes with Gavin Belson's character, he watches all the different tech crews and software developers going around. They all look exactly the same, including having their own token Indian character in it, you know?
Do you agree with
Gavin's story this season? Ooh.
Oh, I was about to say, he was on fire this season.
I love Matt Ross. Like, he's such a hateable character in the show, but you just love how hateable he is, you know?
I thought it was probably his best season as far as quality.
Oh, that's good to hear, because, I mean, because that guy's actually a professional director, too. Like, he directed that movie, Captain Fantastic, with Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, I heard that movie's fantastic. Oh.
It's in the name. How well his character's done after the first season. Like, his whatever dynamic he was going to have was just cut off from the hips.
Well, because that's the thing is, like, I mean, they clearly wanted him to have the longer story arc with, what's his name's character? Peter Gregory? Yeah, but it seems like they actually found a way to make him his own thing, not just the bad guy.
The way they did that was they just made him, like, the direct antagonist to Richard, even though, like, they're kind of similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I loved how the season explored that, but didn't allow him to sacrifice his morals on teaming up with Richard.
That's interesting. And that's great to see with those kind of side characters. Now, I noticed there's a few other, like, recurring roles in that stuff. Like, I know, what's his name? Chris Diamantopoulos as Russ Hanneman shows up again. Like, how's he in the season?
Oh, he's fantastic.
Fucking
he's always
dope.
Been fantastic. He's one of my favorite characters of the show.
Because that dude's such a weirdo. I mean, really.
Yeah, I was so glad to have him back. I didn't know he was going to be in this season because he was kind of hardly in the last season. And he just sort of comes in fucking just flying.
He comes in as a bullshit excuse to, like, save the day a little bit, but, like...
I'll agree.
It's like, at a way to, like, ah, oh man, I would almost rather take the court hearing.
It's a douche ex machina.
But probably the most realistic thing ever.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the thing. The great thing about his character is how he can just subtly come into situations and just be like, hey, what's up, motherfuckers? Like, he even says, like, what did he say? He was like, how come you guys aren't down to do all the crazy shit I want to do, but whenever you guys got something, I'm fucking in.
It sounds like there's actually, like, a lot of good laughs in this. Like, is there anything that's particularly, like, weak about it outside of just some of the standard qualities? I mean, other than the fact of what you guys mentioned with Camille Nanjiani's character. Like, have there been any major issues?
You know what? That's the good thing about cutting this to 7 episodes. It's kind of hard to think about that. Like, what were the issues? Because it was kind of tight.
There was a good lack of bullshit. I mean, sometimes... I think, if anything... It's still just the general repetitive nature of some of the show. They never really evolved past the first season, but it's still... I mean, the characters evolved, but the formula of, hey, we get ahead, now we fail, hey, we get ahead and now we fail, has just constantly been a crutch. They never really get to a point where... Not that you need stability in a plot, because that would kind of suck, but they never get to a point where they do anything other than, hey, you know, fucking Thomas Middleditch locks himself freaking out, and then he comes up with a tech idea. It's almost like Walter White finding a way out of a scenario, you know?
Nathan, I gotta ask you, after 5 seasons of this show, what is the show about? Like, what was the point of the show, in your opinion?
To make fun of tech people?
Like, my personal opinion is, I feel like the entire show is about Richard trying to find a way to be happy.
I felt like the real Silicon Valley was the friends they made along the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, did you just turn into Bradley?
Honestly, it didn't... I'd agree with that to an extent. By the end of it, it just felt more like a story about friendship not dying because of monetary gain. to some extent.
Because they never gain anything. Like, throughout the entire season, like, they, like, have multi-millionaire, like, businesses, but none of them, like, become millionaires.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. How did you feel about the finale?
Are you talking about, like, how, the climax, like, the second-to-last episode, or the, like, how they decided to wrap up in the final episode?
I'm just talking about the final episode as a whole.
I enjoyed that. I enjoy, like, I'm not gonna spoil it, but I like it when a show does that, because it feels like a good epilogue, or a good way of doing it.
I agree. I don't know. I landed just, sort of middling on it. Like, it was a fine finale. It wasn't anything... I don't feel an urge to rewatch the show.
Oh, that's a bummer.
You know, I might actually rewatch it, because those first seasons are really great. And now that I know it doesn't shit out at the end, I feel more safe about it.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's just due to the high amount of content on TV. I hardly ever rewatch shows. I mean,
you got,
I still haven't.
20 shows you got to catch up on.
Yeah, and like 5 of them that we're reviewing in this month.
Exactly. I still haven't gotten to The Mandalorian yet.
Yeah, you can probably wait on that one, honestly. That's just me. But it's good to know, just like, you know, that at least it ends on a decent note, it sounds like. Like, they didn't do anything like that's going to piss off everybody, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, no, by the end of it, it's a good show that almost got great, but never fully went for it.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
Still has one of the best well-oiled casts on television.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, because most of these people were pretty much nothing. Well, I mean not nothing, but they were very new actors when they started off, and now most of them have launched into much bigger and better properties these days, you know?
Aside from the older actors, their biggest, like, star was, like, Guilfoyle, who's, like, was in Freaks and Geeks. That was pretty much it, kind of.
Yeah,
pretty much.
No, so, I mean, is there any other major points to make about this season? Because, I mean... it's hard to say too much without going into full spoilers, and I don't feel like we want to spoil really anything for this, but it feels like, I mean, most everyone seems to be pretty satisfied based on the overall critical consensus I'm seeing with this season, but any other things you want to specify before we go to the final thoughts?
My biggest final thought is fucking Zach Woods. He's taken a character that could be so one note and lame, and somehow has managed to deliver every mannerism and every fucking line so well.
That's Jared, like, right?
Yeah, that's Jared.
Yeah. He milks
out. I hated him so much in The Office.
Oh, and same.
From the first episode of this show, I said to myself, I want him to be in the rest of the season. And it's like God heard me for the first time in my life, because he became a regular in the cast, and it's like, oh God, this is amazing.
That's the thing with, like, The Office, where it feels like a lot of those new characters they introduced were just kind of like, you know, they couldn't think of anything to do with those new characters, because there's been some good actors who joined later in The Office, and it seems like somebody discovered what a secret weapon that dude is. Even the cast talk about how much they're like, yeah, we're all great and all, but Zach Woods is like the secret weapon of this show. Like, no one could keep up with him.
Literally, there is a freak out he has, and I'm not going to spoil what it's about, but it's in episode 2, and some of the shit he says, if delivered by a lesser actor, could just go as taking it over the top, but his face the entire time, he just has one expression of rage that just holds. And you're terrified, but you're also laughing. Like,
you think I'm afraid of catching a case on some bullshit?
You want me to dance on the blacktop, homie? You bitch made motherfucker.
Man, I haven't even seen this, but I can just picture in my head, and it's really funny.
you honestly, you could YouTube it and not be spoiled for the whole season.
Oh, I can't wait.
What I highly recommend, second to last season had one of the best uses of Jared in the final episode. Do you know what I'm talking about, Doggett?
The second to final episode or the final episode?
Second to last, or the final episode of the last season.
Oh, the final episode of last season. Oh, shit, what happened then?
It's literally, it's almost like a nothing scene. Him and Dinesh are in the car, and Dinesh is yelling to get somebody's attention. I can't even remember who, but some guy just says, hey, can you shut the fuck up? And Jared just immediately responds, Do you want to die, motherfucker?
I remember that.
Dude, oh my gosh. He's like, or do you want to die right now, motherfucker? Like, he just says it so matter of fact, and you're just like, whoa.
You know, for a show about geeks, like, there's a lot of, like, gangster moments in this entire series. Like, there's, like, I know he's a terrible person, but T.J. Miller has one of my favorite scenes in this entire show where he goes to a kid, is like, you brought piss to a shit contest, and he just smacks the fuck out of this little kid.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's, what, season one?
I forgot about that, yeah.
I'm gonna kill your mother, I'm gonna rape your father, I'm gonna curvy stomp you!
Oddly enough,
it's a good smack talk show, you know?
All that craziness that T.J. Miller had in that scene is sort of just taken to 100 by Zach Woods while still staying true to his character. Actually, one of my favorite things is he manages to have... There's a guy who is very uncomfortable around him and thinks that he is, like, fucking with him and trying to make his life worse every time he's trying to be nice to him.
Okay.
Do you remember what I'm talking about, Doggett?
You're talking about I think so, the person who kind of replaced him for, like, a few episodes?
Yes.
Yes, I love that dynamic. Because in the second... Because in the previous season, he basically, he basically broke that character down.
And it's just... It's funny watching him just have that just sort of calm, like... Hey, is anybody hungry for something? I'm hungry for something. Yeah. Hey, I can't remember the guy's name. I love how he just constantly will just berate him. And he'll be like, God, who would hate you?
But yes, Zach Woods is the secret treasure of this entire show.
Yeah. And no, it seems like most of the stuff, even like just to wind down to, like, the technical aspects of the show always seem to be still pretty good. Like what? Most of the episodes are directed by Mike Judge or some of the regular people. And even Matt Ross, Gavin, directed the second to last episode this season, too. So.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah, he did. And it's mostly the same people who work on a lot of HBO comedies, because Alec Berg's a big player in this as well. And he's the guy who's one of the directors on Barry as well.
Yeah, and he also did a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes, indeed. So
I like... I think that episode with Matt Ross was probably the best directed of all the episodes this season at Rust Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I thought that was pretty good, but yeah.
Oh, Justin, you don't even know what Rust Fest is.
Oh, I can't wait. Like, I'm kind of curious to try and get back into this, because, I mean, I've always liked Silicon Valley. I was never at the point where I'm like, this is the best comedy on TV, but once Veep kind of started to fizzle out for me a bit, I was just like, oh, you know, Silicon Valley's starting to get a lot better.
You stopped at season 4, you said, right?
Yeah. So I feel like...
Silicon Valley or Veep?
No, well, actually both, technically. So
I say pick up at season 5. That's where I think T.J. Miller's already been kicked off.
Yeah. So I'll be curious to check this out again. But who wants to go first with their final thoughts and ratings?
Sure. Okay. I guess I volunteered myself. I think it's a really good final season. It didn't go on too long. It had some of the best moments of the show, I will say. But as a whole, if I'm just reviewing the series, it came close to greatness, but didn't quite get there, and just sort of ends up pretty fine. I think the first couple seasons and the last couple seasons are the best the show has to offer, and there's something in the middle there where they lost it, or... played it too safe, I would say.
Okay.
As a whole, I think the final episode is a good final episode, but I don't know. As a whole, I think I just... Should I review... I'm curious. Should I give the series a rating or just the season a rating?
Well, why don't we do both? Like how about a season score and then a series score?
I think the season score would be 8. Out of 10 state raised not afraid to catch a case of bitch out of 10 but the full series I would probably give like a 7 out of 10 or a
6.5. Wow.
I guess I'm just a little bit picky with my sitcoms, and I kind of have an issue when a show doesn't really feel like it's going somewhere for a while, which I felt Silicon Valley suffered of a lot of the time.
And people will probably hear some thoughts about that in my review for Marvel's Mrs. Maisel when we get there. So, a little bit of a warning there. But anyways,
it still always felt like there were at least a moment that would give me a solid chuckle within a lot of their seasons. So, there's that.
Fair enough. Duncan, how about your season and series reviews?
Well, for this season, I'll give it some extra points for being 7 episodes long because, let's just face it, there's just too much TV out. So, you know, Get In, Get Out, we'll all leave much happier. You hear me, Irishman? Anyways. This entire season
don't
was short.
Don't diss Irishman
in
reviews. Fuck you.
To be fair, he probably is right. I will say that.
Well, the last episode is an hour long, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, 10% of that. Never mind.
Anyways,
you can't even.
So, look, guys, I'll come out with it. I don't ask that much of my entertainment. I asked her a few things. Keep me entertained and be consistent, and I'll be a happy camper. And throughout its life, Silicon Valley has always been there to, like, cheer me up, make me feel good, laugh at these assholes, these rich white guys just making all this money and not and never being happy. And also Dinesh, too. Fuck Dinesh. I also hate rich brown people. Haha.
Fuck Dinesh.
You might want to be careful how you phrase that.
In all seriousness, this season, I think, was very good. I think we got a very nice ending that tied it all together. For this last season, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 Pied Piper summons. For the entire series, except for that one season 4. Season 4 was legitimately a very weak season. But every season before and after that, I thought always brought a good B- to A- game. And for that, I'm gonna
if that makes sense.
For that, I'm gonna give it a 8 out of 10 middle outs.
Fun. So I guess you could say like not the best season of the show, but not the worst either, kind of thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's a big range there. I would say it's just a solid final season.
What's it called? And just to watch the journey of Big Head. Just to see his life was
the dude who accidentally stumbles to success into every corner.
Oh, you're gonna have to watch that.
I think Jing Yang. I thought his arc was crazy
because he starts as a squatter.
Yeah, literally. I also Zach Woods probably brought this season up to an 8 for me. That freak out that he has. If you don't watch the season, watch that scene on YouTube. Do yourself a favor.
Alrighty.
outside of that, yeah. It's a fine show.
Now if y'all excuse me, I'm gonna make Chinese one of us .net.
I just want to put on Rotten Tomatoes your quote, "I hate brown rich people."
Rich brown people. I hate them as well.
Let's stop right there. Before
I hope that should be your, that could be your quote for the season.
It's just player hating.
Let's just stop right there.
No, I'm not fucking finished.